Hello?
Hello. Hi, is this Charles Heller?
You lucky person. It is.
Hi, Mr. Heller. I got your phone number from Tim Keller.
Yeah, hang on just a second. Let me sit down in my car so I can hear. I'm out on a busy street. Right now, all I can tell is that you're probably a girl. Hold on just a second. Close my door. Okay, go ahead. This is Charles. Go ahead.
Okay. I got your name and number from Tim Steller. I asked him. I'm doing a sensitive story. I'm not anti-gun, just so you know. My son owns many guns and goes shooting with his friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize how many strong feelings there are, mm-hmm. and I want to make sure I check with all parties. Tell you the story I'm working on.
First of all, who are you?
Oh, I'm a reporter for the Arizona Daily Star.
Who are you?
Carol Ann Alimo.
Oh, hi, Carol Ann. Okay, great, thanks. All right, yeah, so
right.
You'll
I
tell me.
I said that.
You may have, but I'm on a busy street, and that's why I said give me a minute before I sit down in the car and so I can actually hear you, because all I know is that you're a girl. That's why I said that. Okay, Carol Ann, go ahead.
Okay, so just so you know, I'm not coming with any agenda, but just putting these things out there and whatever. So I'm doing a story about a young man, he's a University of Arizona student who killed himself with a gun that he was able to buy 9 days after he was released from a psychiatric facility.
Uh-huh.
So the thing of it is, and I wanted to talk about what an FBI background check does or does not reveal. I'm sure the gun shop didn't know this. I have a call into them, mm-hmm. too. But
who is the gun shop?
It's Second Amendment.
Uh-huh.
And so, I got to talk to the owners there. He seemed to be doing better, this young man. He's 21, UA student, and he took his life with a gun, and his parents, I guess they were shocked to learn that there's no waiting period for a gun purchase, basically. So 14 states have waiting periods,
mm-hmm.
and but we're not one of them. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to find out why, and I'm thinking that I asked Tim Steller, I said, who do you know who is the best person who would know? I don't ever recall the idea of a waiting period for gun purchase ever even being discussed or proposed in Arizona. Do you?
Nope.
It never has been?
Nope. And never will be as long as we exist.
Okay. What is the objection to it?
Well, it's the same objection why we don't have a waiting period before you publish an article. The rights are equivalent.
Well, tell me what your objection is, though, because I don't understand.
I just did.
I don't understand your analogy at all, so...
Okay.
And I don't want to...
My analogy is that it's a right,
itself.
And you don't put a waiting period on a right. You don't. It's no different. But what I said stands. The Second Amendment is no different than the First Amendment. You don't have a waiting period on free speech. You don't put a waiting period on guns. You don't put a waiting period on any right. To put a waiting period on a right is to infringe the right. That's why.
Period.
To put a waiting period on a right is to infringe the right. The same reason there's no waiting periods on guns is the same reason that you, Carol Ann, don't have to have a waiting period before you publish a fact in an article. It's the same reason.
The Constitution.
Yeah. You don't impair a right.
In the states that have... Look at what some of the research is showing now. There are enough states now that have waiting periods that you can tell what the research is showing if you go back. And plus, there was a time, I guess, when there was the Brady Law was in effect for a while, and they could tell there. And the
whoa,
research.
Whoa, Carol Ann, what do you mean the Brady Law was in effect for a while?
This was years ago.
The Brady Law has been in effect since 1995. It's never been not in effect.
Okay. What I meant was there was a period in which there was it had a 5-day waiting period.
No, it didn't.
It didn't?
No, it never did.
I might be reading them.
No, the waiting period might be for an answer from the government if it was delayed.
Are you talking about the FBI check?
Right. The waiting period.
I think that's
period
a 3-day waiting period. Yeah, that's a 3-day waiting period. If they don't get back, right?
It is now. If they don't get back, I think it used to be a 5. But it's now. But that's only for delays. It's not for purchase of the gun. Most people are cleared when they do the background check. When they have a question on it, they delay it. But most people are cleared right away. And, of course, the people who have a concealed weapons permit don't need the background check.
Right.
They're exempt from it because they've already had one for the permit.
Right. So have you seen any of the research that shows a reduction in gun homicides and suicides when there are waiting periods?
No.
You haven't seen any of that?
No.
Okay.
Why would I look? Why would I look? There isn't any excuse for infringing a right. You don't say, well, you know, a few more people might not kill themselves, so we're going to infringe everybody else's rights who don't kill themselves.
Wait a minute.
You don't say.
Just a second. I want to make sure I get your quote.
It's okay. I can send you the recording of this call when we're done, too, if you tell me your
email
address. I'll send you the call so you can take your time and quote from it.
Okay.
The service I provide to journalists.
Oh, that's wonderful. No, I really appreciate that because, you know, I want to make sure.
Yeah.
In a sensitive story, you've got to have everything just right.
Right.
You have to make sure everyone is just represented. You know, the long and short of it is, by even doing a story about this, I'm going to be targeted, and I know that going in. I'll be targeted by both sides. I'm just telling you that's how it goes. I'll get hate mail from both sides. So at least I need to have my facts straight.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I congratulate you for making the effort to do so. You know, that's what they tried to do when I worked at the Chicago Tribune in the newsroom.
Okay, well then you know, right?
I do. I was also the managing editor of my newspaper in high school, which you might think wasn't much, but there were 6,200 students. And it was a fairly good circulation newspaper, the Lane Warrior.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how long ago that was, but I've been doing this is my 36th year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an old timer. I've been doing this a long time, and I haven't lasted this long by, you know, being stupid or trying to screw people over or anything,
right.
You know?
I get it.
Okay. So I just want to make sure. So you said, why would you, I asked you, why would you?
Why would I look? You know, why would I look?
Why would you look? And you said you can't.
Just because a few people might, and I stress might, not shoot themselves is not a reason to infringe the rights of everyone else who didn't shoot themselves.
Just because
I don't know that, first of all, I haven't seen it, so I don't know if it's true or not. I have no idea if there's any correlation between waiting periods and suicides. I have no idea. But the point is, even if I did have an idea, you don't limit the rights of everybody because some few people might shoot themselves.
Right.
You can justify anything in law by that line of logic. I mean, you know, reporters might say something that's wrong and it's dangerous. You know, like flushing Korans down the toilet. And people might get killed for that. So we need to have a waiting period on journalists. You can print that, too. I hope you do.
There are cases in which we cooperate with authorities, though, in the public interest. You know that.
Sure. I know that. Yes. And you, because
that, well, we have to do that. Even though there's a First Amendment and we're not required to do it, we do it anyway.
There's also common sense. You know, if you know a fact that somebody is in danger, even though it's confidential, you might tell the police because it might stop somebody from getting hurt. But there's a difference there because it's specific knowledge, not general principle. And you actually just made a really good point for me. Yes, if there's a clear and present danger, but there is no clear and present danger of suicide that makes it so that you would infringe everybody's right just because there might be harm to a few. You don't do that. You just don't. We don't do it with anything else in our society.
Well, maybe we don't do that in Arizona. In other states, they do. In some other states. It's not that many. It's only, I think, 14 at last count that that have waiting periods.
You're not going to tell me that the murder rate in Los Angeles mm-hmm. is lower than the murder rate in Phoenix, are you?
I don't know. I hadn't researched that. I wasn't comparing murder rates in Phoenix and L.A. I was looking
I'll
at...
I'll bet you you're going to find the murder rate in Phoenix is lower. And you know, you realize that most of the deaths... statistics with where firearms are involved are suicides. Do you know that? Because it's objectively true. It is objectively true that most of the deaths by firearm are suicide. By about two-thirds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have the last, I'm getting it down to the Pima County level, and I've got the stats for last year on homicides, suicides, and all that, so mm-hmm. it shows all that.
How many suicides were there in Pima County last year?
I don't have those documents right in front of me right now, and I'm so.
It'd be interesting to know.
But you can look it up. Yeah, you can. I will. Be publishing all that information.
Good.
Stop doing a fast box with it, and I just want to make sure everyone's represented, because even if it's controversial, if people know that they were represented, then you know what I mean. That's okay. That's still good. I'm doing my job. So, I wanted to make sure. So, what else did I want to ask you? Has it ever, because that was what I asked him, has it ever?
No. It's never
come up. And I said, I don't think it's ever come up.
Nope.
How long have you been? Oh, go ahead.
Nor is it likely ever to.
Oh, right. That's what you said.
Right.
Is there the possibility of a federal intervention about that? I mean, not if they want to get reelected, maybe, but. I'm thinking the federal government could pass something, right,
well,
if they really wanted to.
I don't think anyone has recently proposed it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And that's right now, you know what, that's low down on anyone's priority list right now with the virus and all that. People got to worry about that first. So the other thing I wanted to ask you, what doesn't... So here's my understanding about... I wanted to just make it clear, an FBI background check. So the store owner did a background check.
Right.
But, of course, it's not going to turn up that the man just got out of a psych hospital because he went there on his own. My understanding of the background check is unless you were involuntarily committed, in other words, unless there's a court order
mm-hmm.
that would show up on a background check, it's basically a personal health issue. The law regards it as a personal health issue.
Right.
If you have a mental illness that you're in treatment for.
Well,
is that right?
I believe it's
yeah.
right, unless it was done by a court order that there's no paper record that would be in
right.
the system. And I believe also it would be a violation of HIPAA laws for the
exactly.
for the incarceration facility to report it anywhere.
Right.
Now, if he was the subject to an order per Title 36 of Arizona law, Title 36 is family law, if he were subject to any kind of a court order of incarceration in a mental facility, that should be in the records. But
yeah, no, he wasn't. He always went willingly, this particular young man.
Well,
he had been treatment since he was 11, and he died at 21.
Right.
It's really sad what some people go through.
It is. I will give you a question to pose to
okay.
your readers. Is a person with, and this is something I'd really like you to quote me because it's important, it's an important issue. Is a person with mental health problems less entitled to the use of force and self-protection? In other words, just because a person has a handicap, does that mean he's less entitled to the use of force and self-defense? That would be my response that I hope you would print, is just because a person has a mental handicap, does it mean he's not entitled to the use of force to protect himself?
Yes.
It's a very important question, and I'll tell you what else. I've certified blind people to get a concealed weapons permit.
Oh, oh boy.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
Are you suggesting we should discriminate against the handicapped?
I guess I'm not suggesting it. I guess most people would think it odd. It's like I always wonder why there's Braille on the keys at the bank teller machine when, you know, if you can't see.
In the drive-thru?
Yes.
Because that's a really good question. The reason is because your passenger in the back seat may want to get money out of his account.
That is a good question. I'm glad you had the answer.
Well, I have an answer. I'm not saying I have the answer. I don't claim to be all-knowing on the issue, and there's, you know, but I'm just saying to you that people only think, they're not thinking from cause to effect about this. And this is why what you're doing now is such a good thing. This is why you say, I don't come to this with an agenda, I don't know, I'm asking you. It's such a good thing, okay? It's because you might not think, well, why would a blind man need a gun?
Right.
Because a blind man may be more subject to attack.
All right.
And he might change the ammo he uses so it'll only go a short distance. But most of the blind man's use of the gun is going to be at contact distance anyway.
Yeah.
And to say that a blind man is less entitled to the use of force in self-defense because he's blind is straight up
discrimination against
the handicap. And so is telling somebody who has a mental health problem that he can't own a gun for self-defense. Now you're
right.
Saying that because he already has a disability in his ability to handle his emotions, that now on top of that you're going to burden him by disabling his ability to defend himself. Now, the result of that might be that some of them might use the gun on themselves. It's true. But,
right.
But it's not the government making the choice. It's the individual making the choice. And that's the principle our country is based on, is individual autonomy as long as you don't hurt somebody else. That's what
right.
Our whole country is based on. And while, you know, somebody might kill themselves because of that, that's their choice.
So you think suicide is a choice, okay.
Well, no, I think suicide is an individual decision. And there are programs out there, there are quite a few, that, I don't know if you know this, the National Shooting Sports Foundation has got a huge anti-suicide program going with the gun shops and with gun ranges. There's also a program going where people who aren't feeling good, emotionally capable of holding their guns, there's a national program where gun shops will store their guns for them.
Huh.
We're very sensitive to this problem. It's not like, yeah, go ahead, shoot yourself. See if I care. It's not that at all. What we're trying to do is address the problem without having the government use it as an excuse to infringe our rights, or a further excuse, or an excuse for further infringement. That's the problem here. Oh, we got to prevent suicide. You know, let's have a waiting period. Let's have a mental health. Pretty soon, if the anti-freedom forces get their way, you'll have to pass a mental health certificate in order to get a gun. And the fact that you want a gun means you must be crazy. Therefore, you don't qualify. I mean, that's what we're coming to. No, that's what we're headed towards. That's what the anti-freedom forces would like.
You need to be in radio. You have a great voice for it. I know you said you were in the newsroom, but...
are you joking?
No!
I've been on the radio for 22 years.
Oh, have you? I didn't know that about you.
I have Swap Shop, Liberty Watch, and America Armed and Free Radio. I've been on the... And I also operate
I did not know that.
Yeah,
all
I'm on KVOI. I've been on the radio for 22 years. Thank you.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Okay. Well, you have a great radio voice, so it's a happy
thank you.
Marriage.
Thank you for listening to Liberty Watch on AM 1030 KVOI.
Well, I asked Tim Steller, who can answer these questions, and he said that you were the first one. He said the Arizona Citizens Defense League. Are you the founder of it?
I'm one of the four founders of it, yes.
Okay.
And I'm also their spokesman.
Okay. Spokesman and one of the founders.
And if you want the proper title, I'm their media coordinator. Or communications coordinator, excuse me.
No, we try to keep language like that out of the paper.
Oh.
A spokesman is good enough.
Fine.
It's clear. It's clear.
God forbid we could be accurate.
Right? No, a spokesman is correct.
Yeah,
right?
Okay.
In terms of
I do a lot more than that. It's broadly correct, but it's not accurate.
Well, for
this
whatever
you want, it's your article. It's your article.
Okay.
You have creative control. So.
Anyway, I wanted to tell you, I asked Tim Stellar, and he said, Arizona Citizens Defense League has more power than the NRA at the legislature. That's who you need to call, is Charles Stellar.
Yeah, I don't have a comment on that. I will, but I will tell you that we've had 63 good bills signed by three governors over 15 years.
Wow.
We're the guys that got constitutional carry done in Arizona. Constitutional carry means you don't need a permit to carry a gun, open or concealed, anywhere it's legal in the state. We're the ones that got that done.
Okay.
And we are also the ones that got all kinds of other bills, like the Katrina bill.
Arizona, is one of the gun-friendliest states.
It's the gun-friendliest state, according to Guns and Ammo magazine, for the last 7 years in a row.
Wait a minute. Is the gun-friendliest
state in Arizona? State? We're rated number one by Guns and Ammo magazine.
Number one.
In the United States.
Okay.
And for the record, we have
look that up.
We have no, there isn't a competition between us and NRA.
Right. He was just making the point of how influential you are.
Well, he's not wrong.
But, yes.
But the reason is people think it's, oh, it's all the manufacturers that give all the money. It's not. We're a grassroots group. We don't have a paid staff.
Right.
Everybody's a volunteer. So, we do have a lobbying contract where we pay the lobbyists. But other than that, we do not have any paid staff. Everything is completely volunteer. We've got 18,000 members. We grow 1,000.
All around the state?
Yeah, yeah. Our headquarters are co-located in both Tucson and Phoenix. Half the board's in Phoenix, half the board's in Tucson.
Right.
And we don't do rallies, we don't do meetings. We have an annual meeting, which is a meeting of the members. And in the even years, it's in Phoenix, and the odd years, it's in Tucson. Mostly because Tucson's odd. And,
come on, you love it. Tell me you don't love it.
Oh, I love it. It's just,
I couldn't live in Phoenix. I just could not live there. Traffic, heat in the summer. Oh,
I refer to Phoenix as the shining city in a pit.
I couldn't live there if you gave me a free house, is what I always say. Just couldn't. I couldn't handle the weather for one thing.
Well, I couldn't live in New York City. I've been there twice.
Right? Because it stinks like garbage everywhere
you
go.
No. I love the energy of the city, but
I can't get that smell out of my nostrils when I go in there. But you love the energy, but what?
It's a socialist paradise. And I hate socialism for the plague that it is.
I bet you do.
I'm sorry, what?
No, I bet you do. And given all your other things that you said.
Collectivism is a cancer of the human spirit. I believe in individual rights, provided people don't infringe the rights of other people.
Right.
You know, people say, you know, the libertarians say, oh, I got the right to swing my arms as long as I don't hit your nose. Not true. You've got the right to swing your arms up to the arc where the other person swings their arms.
Right, I get it.
It's not just... It's not just not hitting you in the nose. It's not infringing your rights to swing your arms.
Right.
So, anyway, that was more than you had.
Okay, let's see. All right, so you're going to send me a tape recorder. I just want to know if you can tell me again the programs that you mentioned.
I'm sorry?
Didn't catch you know, you're excited about these programs.
Right.
The suicide prevention programs. I couldn't write fast enough to catch all the names of if you could go over that again.
The National Shooting Sports Foundation.
National Shooting Sports.
Their web address is nssf.org, National Shooting Sports Foundation.org. They have programs with the gun shops to actually train people how to spot signs of potential suicide and talk with people about it. This is a concern for us.
What?
And this grew, I'll tell you what it grew out of. It grew out of the gun rights policy conference. There's a guy who attends the gun rights policy conference who actually designed this training based on the loss of one of his friends. And this program has gone all over the country in trying to establish that people who don't feel competent to hang on to their own guns, they've got a way of safely storing them away from themselves. There's a national program to do that, and it's a good idea.
And will all of this be on the website of the NSSF.org?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. You can also look on the Second Amendment Foundation's website, SAF, Sam Albert Frank, SAF.org.
That's a legitimate, okay.
The Second Amendment Foundation is about the third largest gun rights organization in the United States.
Yeah, see, I'm operating out of ignorance on a lot of
it.
The
NRA is the biggest. The second is Gun Owners of America. And the third is the CCRKBA, which is Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And they have a sister organization, is called the Second Amendment Foundation. The foundation is the 501c3, and the Citizens Committee is the 501c4.
So the Second Amendment Foundation, if I go to their
suicide prevention on there, you'll find it there. And if you don't find what you're looking for, call me back and I'll do some digging and find it. You know, we're very concerned. As gun owners, we're very concerned about the problem. We're concerned for people not killing themselves, and we're also concerned for the government not using it as an excuse to infringe rights. We're concerned in both directions. It's not like, let them shoot themselves. It's not like that at all. We're very concerned about it. Because the majority of the gun deaths, you know, the rate of death by gun in the United States per 100,000 people is a misreported statistic because it includes all the suicides. Because the murder rate with guns and the death rate with guns are two different numbers.
Right.
There's about 11,000 murders in the United States a year, approximately. It went up a little bit in 2017, and I think it went up in 2020. I don't know, the final figures aren't in for 2020, but the point is, but the rate of murder has been going down significantly since 1994. Significantly.
Mm-hmm.
Huge reductions. The rate of suicide has not.
Right.
So, most of the homicide by gun, and if a person kills themselves with a gun, that's considered a homicide. Those statistics are included in the murder statistics in the United States.
See, I haven't researched that, and I don't know if I'll have time to by my deadline.
Right.